you, man.
Hey,
as if you can't be here in person, no better place to be than online, right? Y'all excited? Hey, y'all know what today is?
Sunday.
Great job.
Talladega.
Yeah, it is Talladega Day, actually. Last Sunday was what?
Easter
Sunday. Guess what today is? The second Sunday of Easter. Did y'all know that was a thing? Did y'all know the second Sunday of Easter was an actual event thing you hear? We're going to talk about that today. Because that's what we're celebrating, is the second Sunday of Easter. Your title today is this: Peace Be With You. Peace, Presence, and Belief. Peace be with you. Peace, presence, and belief. Think about it. That second Sunday of Easter. What a better thing to have as part of the resurrection than peace, presence, and belief in our Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but that makes me excited. How about you guys? Hey, our main scripture is actually going to come from the book of John, chapter 20, verse 19 through 31. John 20:19-31, NIV version, says it this way: On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood with them and said, what did he say? Oh, look, that's the title of our message, ain't it? Peace be with you. And after he said this, he showed him his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Amen. Now, we always got some doubters in the crowd, don't we? Yeah, boy. Verse 24 says, Who?
Thomas.
Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. He was out of the room, right? So the disciples told him about it. We have seen the Lord. But he said to them, like a lot of us still do today, right? But he said to them, Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. How many of y'all ever been there? How many of y'all still there sometimes, right? A week later, hey, he asked for it, right? It wasn't immediate, right? But a week later, his disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said again, Peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said to him, My Lord and my God. Then Jesus told him, Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have believed. Amen. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not recorded in his book. But they are written that you may believe that Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you have life in His name. As long as we believe, right? That's all it takes, right? As long as we believe, we have life in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Son of God, right? Are y'all excited for Him? All right, let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll get to the first scripture. Heavenly Father, Lord, as always, I ask you right now, Lord, get me out of the way today, Lord. Lord, as always, may it be your Holy Spirit that speaks through me, Lord. May it be your words spoken and not mine, Jesus. Lord, as always, may you open our heart, mind, and soul, Lord, to the blessing and the message that you have for us today, Jesus. And as always, Lord, may you be the only one that gets all glory, honor, and praise out of everything we do here today, Lord. Lord, may you be with us through the rest of the service. In your name I pray, amen. All right, your first scripture, we're going to go back to the end of the book. We already been all over the place, right? We're going to go to the end. Y'all remember what the end of the book is? What is the last chapter of the book? Huh? What?
Revelation.
Somebody online. Type, what's the last chapter of the book? Revelation. Ooh, that's some good stuff back there, ain't it? Revelation 1, verses 4 through 8. NIV version again. Revelation 1, 4 through 8 says this. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the king of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. And he made us to be a kingdom of priests to serve his God and Father. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming in the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. All the peoples on earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Amen. Ooh, I don't know about you, but that gets me excited. How many of y'all ready to go home now? Amen. Y'all ready to go to heaven now? I know I am. That gets me going, right? So that's what we're going to talk about. The peace, the belief of this part of it being, again, the firstborn of the dead. Ooh, I don't know about you. But today we're going to find ourselves still in the bright glow of that Easter morning. The tomb is empty. Christ is risen. But what does the resurrection mean now? Not only for that Sunday morning long ago, but for this Sunday and every Sunday that occurs until he returns. And our passage today is from Revelation today. The Apostle John greets the Church of Asia with the words, both majestic and marvelous. This is no ordinary greeting, is it? It's nothing ordinary. But it is truly a window into what heaven itself will be like. Let's hear that opening again. Grace to you and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come. Ooh, I don't know about you, but already we're reminded of the eternal nature of God. Easter is just a moment in history, right? It's a revelation of a God who is beyond time limits. The one who is, who always has been, who's present with us today and now, right? And who also is coming again in the future. Ooh, that's eternal. That's definitely eternal nature, isn't it? That means this. That means the victory of our Easter is not stuck in the past when it happened on the earth 2,000 years ago. Amen? But it is active. It is alive. And it is future reaching for all of us today. John continues on this. And from Christ and Jesus Christ, a faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Ooh, three titles. Three titles. Ooh, but one Lord. Amen. He has three titles, but one Lord. Let's look at them. The first title is this, a faithful witness. Jesus came not only to die for us, right, but also to rise for us. But also to reveal the truth about God's love in a world of lies that we live in. He is truly the truth, isn't he? In the time of betrayal, he is faithful, isn't he? Even when the cross loomed before him, he bore that first witness for us to the Father's will. This encourages us today Anytime we have a trial that we're going through today, we too are called to be faithful witnesses, no matter how bad it might be affecting us, right? And we, again, we see that firstborn from the dead. Here's the Easter proclamation in His power. Christ didn't just come back to life, did He? But He truly is the firstborn of the new creation. His resurrection is not a one-time event, but it is a preview of what's to come for all of us that believe in Him. Because He lives, we shall live too. Amen. Death has been dethroned, right? A new reality has begun. And we also see the ruler of the kings of the earth. This might be the hardest part of one for us to grasp, right? Look around the world today. What do we still see? We see war, don't we? We see injustice. Amen. We see confusion all over the place, right? It doesn't always feel like Jesus is ruling, does it? But John sees with different eyes than us sometimes, right? He sees with eyes of faith. The resurrection wasn't just a point in history, was it? But it was a coronation of the King. The kingdom of this world will pass, right? But the reign of Christ will be forever. It will never end, right? And then comes the heart of the passage. To Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood and made us to be the kingdom and the priests. Easter is personal to each one of us, isn't it? Christ didn't just rise in glory. He rose in each one of you that believe in Him. He loves you. He freed you. Not with words, right? But with that blood of His. And more than that, He didn't just rescue each one of us, did He? He gave us purpose. He gave us purpose to be in His kingdom, to be His priests. Easter empowers each one of us to live as people of purpose, as people of praise. And so John ends the greeting with a doxology and a promise. He says, what? Look, He is coming where? In the clouds. In the clouds, guys. There is truly hope, isn't there? The risen Christ will return for us. Every eye will see Him. Every wrong will be made right. But until that day, we know we got a time, something to do, don't we? Until that day, we live between Easter and eternity with the Lamb who reigns supreme on with for us and with us and in us. Amen. So as we journey through this Easter season, may we remember that Jesus is the faithful witness calling us to truth and endurance. He is the firstborn of the dead, securing our hope beyond the grave. And He is our ruler of kings, reigning even now in glory above. Amen. But most of all, He is the one who loves you. He is the one that freed you. And He is the one that made you His own. May you give Him glory and dominion forever today. Amen. Because we truly do see that peace to come before us. His presence and belief within us. Jesus brings peace for our fearful hearts. He provides proof for doubting minds. And He sends us out with a purpose. All grounded in that Easter day resurrection. Amen. Resurrection changes everything, don't it? But for the disciples, it didn't feel that way just yet, did it? It changes everything. But them at that time, they didn't really feel everything just yet, did they? They were still in shock that the Lord had been taken away. But their fear, but into that fear walked a risen Christ, didn't He? What He offers them is not only an emotional reassurance, but theological transformation for us. In John 19:31, we see that that risen Jesus was fulfilling the promises of the Old Testament, completing His redemptive work, and launching us and Him on a new creation mission. He comes with peace, don't He? Peace be with you. Right? The Hebrew concept, I get that word out, the Hebrew concept of shalom is more than tranquility. It's wholeness. It's restoration. It's harmony with God and creation. This peace was promised in the prophets. The punishment that brought us peace was on Him. Jesus preached peace, didn't He? And now, post-resurrection, He gives each one of us peace, sealing a new covenant with His blood. He locked the doors. Echo Eden's exile for us. Man was shut off from God's presence, wasn't he? But Jesus now walks through those barriers, satisfying a restored access for us, or signifying a restored access for us. This is not just a man, is it? It's not just, Jesus ain't just a man comforting friends. But He is truly the risen Savior, fulfilling a priestly role and bringing peace between God and men. His presence is in the midst, in their midst, fulfills what John 14:27 said, "In My peace I give you." The peace that Jesus offers is rooted in His atoning death and a victorious resurrection. It's not circumstantial, is it? But it is conventional. This is truly the peace that Romans 5:1 declares. Since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He showed them His hands and His side. "My Lord, my God, my Lord, my God." Jesus' wounds fulfill Zechariah 12:10, where it says, "They shall look on Me, whom they have pierced." His resurrected body is not a resuscitated corpse, is it? But it is truly glorified flesh. The first fruits of the new creation. Thomas's confession said what? "My Lord, my God." Echoes the divine titles of Yahweh in the Old Testament. "My God and my Lord." Affirming in Jesus' full deity. The whole Gospel of John has pointed to this moment, from "The Word was God" in John 1 to my God now. We truly see a faith in sight, don't we? Jesus responds. Remember, He responded to Thomas's doubt, didn't He? Not with rebuke, right? But graceful invitation. Yet, He pronounces a beatitude for those who believe without seeing, paving the way for the church age of faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Faith is the assurance of all things hoped for, the conviction of things not yet seen." We live our lives with the blessing of verse 29, don't we? "Though we haven't seen with our eyes, we believe on the basis of the apostolic witnesses that we've had." We've been empowered by the Spirit. Jesus' wounds still speak today, don't they? Offering us evidence, not only of His death, right? But His true triumph and return. "As the Father has sent Me, even so I am sending you." Jesus' mission echoes the sending of the prophets. But it does go deeper, don't it? He is the true and the great and greater Moses, the ultimate sent one. The words He breathed on them take us back to Genesis 2:7, where God was breathing life into Adam Himself. And now, Jesus breathes a new life into His disciples. This is also a preview of Pentecost, where the Spirit comes in fullness. John shows us that the theological foundation of the resurrection and the Spirit are totally inseparable, aren't they, in the new covenant life. We have a forgiveness mission, don't we? Verse 23 is not about the disciples having power to forgive it in themselves, right? But it is about being ambassadors of the gospel. Just as Jesus forgave the paralytic, now His church proclaims that same authority grounded in the cross and the resurrection. We're not just recipients of that grace, are we? But we are true stewards of it as well. The resurrection turns our fearful followers into Spirit-filled, empowered witnesses. Jesus sends us, just as the Father sent Him, with truth, with compassion, and with purpose for each one of us. Through believing, we will see. Blessed are those who have not yet seen, but yet believe. This passage turns the spotlight from the disciples to the future church, to us, don't it? The entire gospel itself was written to awake faith. The echoes of Deuteronomy 30:14. The word is very near you. It is in your mouth and it is in your heart, so that you can do it. Scripture has always been the means by which our faith comes, hasn't it? Because faith comes by hearing, right? The blessing Jesus gives us here on this Easter Beatitude is faith that rests not on a sight, right? But on the testimony of the Scriptures and on the Spirit's witnesses. Sorry. Your belief is not inferior to the disciples. Jesus declares you blessed. You are a part of the story of John that he has written. You are a recipient of the Word that gives life to us. Jesus didn't just rise from the grave, did He? But He rose into the lives of His people. How comes? He now comes into our locked rooms. Our breathless peace, or gives us breathless peace into our anxiety. And He answers our doubts. He gives us purpose that echoes from Genesis to Revelation. For this Easter season, may you receive His peace. It's rooted in the cross and the resurrection. May you rest in His proof, because the wounds speak of love and victory. May you live His purpose, because we truly are a sent people, aren't we? We're alive with resurrection power in each one of us, I believe. Believe His word, for in believing, we have truly life, eternal life in heaven with Him in His name. Amen. As we come for the final song, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as always, I thank You for Your Holy Spirit speaking through me, Lord. Lord, for Your word spoken and not mine, Lord. Lord, we thank You for each and everything that You do for us, Lord. Lord, we just ask You, Lord, that we would truly be Your mouthpiece, Lord. Lord, Your witness for this resurrection, Lord. Lord, our true belief would be shown on us, Lord, that somebody would want to know what we found is different than they have, Lord. Lord, may You put somebody in front of us this week, Lord. Lord, that we can truly tell about Your mercy, Your love, and Your life, Lord. More importantly, Lord, about that resurrection, Lord. Lord, about the peace Your presence brings in each one of us, Lord. Lord, may we always be rooted in Your cross and Your resurrection, Jesus. And Lord, we thank You for each and everything that You do. In Your name I pray. Everybody say it.